Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Cliff and Miss Melanie. What a blessing that was. They were looking for a trio. I told them I was busy. I wasn't available. You know, they are such a blessing. And as we begin today's message, you know, sometimes we look at the praise team that's up here and what a wonderful job they do. I looked back there and I saw DJ once again mentoring one of our young people back there, teaching them how to use the drums. That is such an awesome thing, DJ. God bless you. And it's real easy to look at our praise team and to say, you know, how wonderful, and our praise singers and how wonderful that is. But I want you to know that right now in the back, we have some wonderful people in our nursery. And we have some wonderful people in our children's ministry. And without them, it would be very difficult to do ministry at all. If you have the Word of God all over the sanctuary, hold it up, please. Whether you have it in digital, there we go. We got digital format and printed form. And please turn in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I've been in not necessarily a series, but the last 2 weeks and extending into next week, we're focusing primarily upon the Word of God, Holy Scripture itself. Last week we talked about, my message was, Has God Indeed Said? Has God indeed said, speaking from Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, about the fall. Today we're talking about the Word of God, and we're building up both of these messages for what is coming next week. Next week, the message will be, Know Your Enemy. We have an adversary. We have an enemy, and we're under attack by him. I remember when I was young, TV had Father Knows Best, I Love Lucy, Leave It to Beaver, The Andy Griffin Show. They all consisted of traditional families and traditional values. These shows taught Americans to respect those in authority and to honor people. The best way to get ahead was by hard work. The closest thing that we ever saw to someone that was a real problem was Ernest T. Bass on The Andy Griffin Show. In the words of that great lawman Barney Fife, he's a nut. You know, if you've ever seen Ernest T. Bass, he's an unforgettable character. But you know, it wasn't just TV. What about the movies? You know, we had such great movies back in the 50s and 60s when I was growing up. Well, actually, before I was born, you know. But it was such great movies. You know, great movies like Ten Commandments. Now, I know there's some issues with the great movie Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, for a long time, I thought Charlton Heston was Moses. You know, nobody else could play Moses again. But even back then, the books like Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Tom Swift Jr., some of these great, wholesome adventures. What have those wholesome things been replaced with? Trashy TV, trashy movies, trashy books. The things that are normal today, and I am not kidding, the things that are normal today, we didn't even whisper or dare to think about when I was young. Nowadays, there is a constant barrage of media filth without a hint of God coming right at us today, coming right at our young children, at our young people. You know, I am so grateful to our children's ministry. You know, the children's ministry, we have a very simple focus. Pastor Chris, Dr. Butler, asked me years ago to serve in a children's ministry. I had absolutely no experience with children. I got back there and good Lord, it was like herding cats. I said, you know what? God's word said that God said, my word shall not return void. And so we made the word of God the central focus, and all these young people were saved. Another time I'd been called to serve at the assisted living home, a place called Remington House. That's where I met one of our deacon head, Divine Gonzalez. I had absolutely no experience ministering to the elderly. This was before I got there. But I said, let's use the Word of God. And you know, we went to Remington House day by day for weeks and months and months and months with absolutely nothing. But we stayed faithful, preaching the inerrant, infallible, perfect Word of God. And then one day, and I mean nothing, no response. And then one day, there was a great harvest in a room filled with this size, filled with people, all coming to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Why? We stayed faithful to the Word of God. You know, I said we spoke last week, and the message was, has God indeed said? You know, in that opening statement, the devil called into question the integrity of God's Word. Eve listened. Adam followed. And therefore we had the fall. And to this day, man still says, has God indeed said? Do you really need that thing called the Bible? Do you really need to go for public worship? Do you really need to do the things that you're called to do by God, to go to church, to give to the missions, to give of your tithes and offerings, to read of the Word of God, to share your fellowship? Has God indeed said those things? You know why? People want to go their own way. We want to do our own thing. Now what I'm holding here in my hand, what you're holding in your hand, has many, many names. Sometimes we call it the Bible. Other times it's called the Holy Scripture. But God's favorite word, the Almighty's favorite word, is the Word of God. Listen to these verses. They'll be up on the screen for you. They'll bless your heart. Isaiah 55, verse 11, up on the screen. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word, sent out by God, will do what God has called for it to do. And it shall prosper for the things in which God sent His holy word. Another very good passage we'll have up on the screen right now is Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord, meaning the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. When we share our faith, when we share the good news, when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are to do it using the Word of God. They don't need my words. You don't need my words. What we need is the Word of God. Another great passage is Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It directs us where we would go. And whether spoken by Jesus Christ, the apostles, or the Old Testament prophets, the Lord calls them the Word of God. And everything that you need for life is found right here. It's a book of hope for people that feel that they're fresh out of hope. Have you made big mistakes? This book is for you. Because it's used for correction. It's used for guidance. Has every ray of sunshine in your life turned into clouds of darkness? This book is for you. Because it declares that joy comes in the morning. It's for people with broken dreams and disappointments that simply won't go away. People whose hope and sense of purpose, despite their best efforts, have been buried in the dust of life. If you have a broken heart, it's for you. If you've lost all sense of direction, it is for you. Because its words are profitable for every good work, it brings power through hope. Now listen, hope is not just the absence of despair. Hope is the presence of something far greater. Hope is not passive. Hope is the most active force in the world, and it comes from the pages of this book. Amen. God's Word, the Bible. And it comes through His Son, Jesus Christ, known as the Word. Friends, here's the real deal. God is up to something great. And He wants to do it through His Word into your heart. And He wants to make you His distribution point for amazing blessings and great works. It's all right here. Let's get started, shall we? I've been going on for a few minutes. You guys are going, good Lord, I see four notes down there. Was this guy ever going to get to the point? Well, we know that we started a few minutes late. And you know what that means to me, right, church? Amen. Nothing. Amen. All right, turning in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Reading from the Word of God. It should be up on the screen. It should be in your notes as well. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. May the Lord add His blessing upon His Word. You know, we believe that God's Word is absolutely perfect. It is absolutely inerrant. Man may speak in error. I personally can speak in error, but a God of truth could never speak in error. A God of truth could never write down or do anything in error. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration, not giving you the Greek word for it, means God breathed. The inspiration of God. And the God of truth cannot inspire error. He simply cannot. Folks, I have people say all the time, well, it might be perfect, but wasn't it written down by some men? Well, of course it was. The Scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, you should see this up on the screen, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by common reason? By who? Spit His name out, because we're going to talk about Him today too. We're going to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to come on in here. I was back there this morning, got prayed over by our prayer team. I want you to know I'm in the mood to preach. That word right there, moved. Moved means borne along, carried along. But it's a nautical term. It's like as a ship is carried along by the sails. Okay? You get a sailboat out there, it can't move without the sails. And that word moved is a nautical term. It said borne along, like a boat is borne along by that. Well, here's another passage. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. It should be up on the screen for you. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is what?
Pure.
He is a shield for those who put their trust in Him. God's Word is absolutely pure. It is absolutely perfect. It is absolutely inerrant. It is God-breathed. You may be saying, well, Pastor Larry, you're preaching to the choir here. Amen. That's how you get the choir to sing. Amen. So God's Word is all things. But also, the character of God's Word must be beyond reproach. It must possess integrity. I tell our deacons all the time when we meet, integrity is so important. If you do not have integrity, nothing else matters. If you do have integrity, nothing else matters. And God's Word must have integrity. Have you ever noticed that God has the same name for His Son as He has for His Word? Isn't that amazing? You think that's by accident? He calls His Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And He calls the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, the Word of God. Revelation 19:13 says of Jesus, His name is called the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We spent 6 weeks talking about that. God's name for the Bible is the Word of God. God's name for Jesus is the Word of God. The character and integrity of Christ and the character and the integrity of the Bible are linked together. If one is fallible, so is the other. If one is a fraud, so is the other. So the question remains, how did we get the Bible correctly from the writers? You know, I never try to give reason. I never try to give this human logic. I go right back to the Scripture that we just saw, and we're going to show it to you again up on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You should have that underlined. You should have that marked in your Bibles. This is something that you should call upon when people say, wasn't it just written by men? Well, they might have transcribed it down, but they were moved along by the Holy Spirit of God. Ah, but how did we get Christ, the living Word? We got Christ from God when God was ready. On the screen you'll see Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born of the law. When did Christ come? In the fullness of time. Who sent Him? Our Heavenly Father, God Himself. The living Word comes from God. The written Word comes from God. And because God is eternal, they are both eternal as well. About the Bible, 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the Word of the Lord endures, what comes next? Forever. About Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:18 says, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. I am so glad about that. I am so excited about that. I am so excited that my salvation does not stand upon myself or my works or anything that I've done, but it stands upon my faith and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, we receive even that faith from God, not of ourselves. Amen? Amen. Better talk back to me or I'm liable to keep going on here. The written Word, the living Word, they're both eternal. Not only that, they never change. God is immutable. That means unchanging. Matthew 5:18 says that the written Word cannot be changed. Jesus speaking says, not one jot or one tittle shall by no means pass away. Immutable. Unchanging. It is desperately important that God cannot change. I've said this so many times in the pulpit, but it bears repeating. God is a holy God. God is a perfect God. And if God could change, He can only change in two directions. He become better, in which case He wasn't a perfect God to start with, or He could become worse, which means that we would have to spend, for those of us that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, all of eternity with a personality, an all-powerful, all-knowing, incredibly powerful being that had had sin introduced into its nature. It is critical that you understand God does not change. There's times when He relents. There's times when He holds back His wrath. He extends His grace and mercy. He's doing that this very second because God does not want any to be lost. He wants all to come to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to give people every chance to be saved. He is not a mean, angry God. He is a loving God. And He wants to have us in heaven with Him. What about the Savior Himself? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that good? Yes. Isn't that good? Both bring light into a dark world. Both bring light into hearts darkened by sin. About the written Word, Psalm 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Speaking of Himself in John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. You want to describe my life without Christ? Stick me in a room with no windows, no doors, and flip turn off the lights. You want to explain my life with Christ? Flip the lights on. When Christ came into my life, it was so incredible. The written Word of God is light. The living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is light. The Word of God is pure and perfect. The Word of God has character and integrity. It is eternal. It is unchanging. It brings light. But the Word of God has something else. It has the absolute authority of the Almighty. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. I have four very quick points now. And I saw some of you guys going, I know He's going to get there sooner or later. Four very quick points. First, we see that the Word of God is practical. The Word of God is practical. This book is not just like any other book out there. This is not some health, self-help book. There is life in this book. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said to disciples, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, the Bible properly prayed over, the Bible properly interpreted, the Bible properly preached, causes Jesus Christ to step out of its pages and right into your heart, right into your life. The law of the Lord is perfect unto salvation. He steps into our lives. He is alive. He is the truth. He is presented as the central personality in the entire Bible. This is all about Him. It is a hymn book. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very opening words of the Bible to the last words in the Bible, it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. As Dr. Adrian Rogers said so many times, that if you read your Bible and you don't find Jesus Christ, read your Bible again. You're reading your Bible incorrectly because He is there. He's alive. There is no other book that has ever been written that is as relevant and as practical as God's Word. Now, not only is the Word of God practical, the Word of God is powerful. Look at verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful." That same word translated as powerful gives us this English word, energy. Because it is alive, it energizes those who study it and live out its principles. It literally changes lives. Now listen closely. For it to do any good at all, it must be received. It must be believed. You have to read it. You can't put it underneath your pillow and expect it to sink in. You have to read the Word of God. You know, I am so grateful to our children's ministry teachers because the one thing that we do is we teach Bible memory. We teach learning the Scriptures. From the youngest one, we saw little Jacob, I believe, got up here, 3 years old and recited the first 5 books of the Bible. Amen. Praise God for that. Is he 4 now?
4.
Yeah, those teachers know that stuff. And he being such a calm child. Listen. Lost my place there. For it to do any good, it must be received, it must be believed, it must be put into practice. Listen, it fuels your life. Think about it this way. Let's say your car is sitting there out of gas. Not going anywhere. Amen? Yeah. Somebody pulls up an 18-wheeler and says, "Here you go, 18-wheeler full of gas." And they leave. Is that gas doing any good? Is that car going to move simply because that gas is sitting there? Absolutely not. See, can that car be moved under its own power? No. Can that car be moved under your power? Yeah. With great difficulty. And I promise you, guys, you're not going to be the one steering it. You'll be the wife steering it. It will go very difficult in the difficult times as you go up the hills. It will go downhill radically out of control. How do you get it? You got to have the right fuel in there. You got to put that fuel in, and that's the Word of God. Fill your mind, fill your heart, fill your life with the Word of God. Embrace God's Word. Fill your life up with it. The Bible is practical. The Bible is powerful. And the Word of God is penetrating. Look at that scripture there. It says, piercing, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Listen, church, God's Word has no problem penetrating to the deepest part of us. That's what makes it so valuable. It goes right into your soul. It cuts. It's presented here as a powerful sword. May I ask you something? Have you ever taken the Word of God and read it, and God's Word just split you wide open? Split your heart wide open. And it shows you how you're living. It shows you what you've been doing. It shows you what you should do. Or it affirms what you have been doing. But it lays you open and shows you the things that God wants. This scripture says it divides the soul and the spirit. It divides the joints and the marrow. Now, I was always curious when I was a young man last week. What does that mean? Why are the marrow and the joints seen here with soul and spirit? Think of it this way. The marrow is the heart of the bone. Amen? It's like your spirit. The spirit is at the heart of you. The joints, that's the action pieces in the skeleton. That's what's got things going on. Those are like the soul, the character, the personality of us. You're saying, well, what does that mean, Pastor Larry? Well, when you read your Scripture, God's Word splits you wide open. It examines your heart. It examines your actions. And it shows you what's there. And it reveals the vast difference between our carnal emotions, between the flesh of ourselves, and God's holiness. For what purpose? Just for God to be mean, to show us where we're doing everything wrong? Why does God's Word slice you open? Why does God's Word separate soul from spirit? Why does God get into you and show you who you really are? Because God wants to do something great through your life. You know, we're the little church that could. We don't think we're little. You know, you ever seen those bantamweight fighters get in the ring? They don't know they're little. They get out there and they go after it. You know, and we don't think we're little.
Amen.
I like that. We don't think so. We got a praise team I'd put in any church. We got greeters. We got prayer team. We got deacons that could serve anywhere in this kingdom. When God is going to do great things here, I'm so excited about it. So, continuing. Point number three was that God's Word is penetrating. I'm sorry, God's Word is penetrating. Our fourth point. Look at the very end of verse 12. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is purifying. The Word of God is purifying. Our next point. Discerner, as you look in that passage, discerner means critic. It means critic. The word we get criticized from. It reveals your thoughts. It reveals your intents. It reveals your actions. And the Word of God critiques you on those things. And that is where the world today has a problem. Folks, we're not here to critique the Bible. The Bible is here to critique us. The Bible is here for our hearts. The Bible is here to do exploratory surgery on the saint's heart. It does corrective surgery to sanctify the saints, to purify them to God's purposes. And now we come to something wonderful, something amazing. You may be sitting here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. We make no bones about it. We're not operating as a secret agent church. Our entire focus, our entire goal is to bring you to an awareness of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so if you're sitting here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, if you're watching a DVD, if you're watching on the internet, we want you to listen closely to what is going to be said now. Because this, what's going to be said is for you specifically. Psalm 19 verse 7, we said before, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect unto salvation." Now listen for a second. When I speak from the Word of God, my heart is to preach only the Word of God. I have seen this book, the sword, do its work so many times. Nothing to do with the preacher. Nothing to do with it at all. Nothing to do with anything other than itself. It has done its work, I've seen, in so many lives. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, back in the late 1800s, was a boy on the way home one day. He just wanted out of a bad snowstorm. He feared for his life. He stumbled in the church. He sat down on the back row, just trying to get warm. It so happened the preacher didn't show up that day because it was storming so bad. A layman sitting there, not knowing what to do, got up, walked to the pulpit, and read one verse. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." And right there on the spot, Charles Haddon Spurgeon gave his heart to God and became an amazing preacher. We call him the Prince of Preachers to this day. All he wanted to do was get out of the storm. May I ask, what storm of life are you living through right now? Because the Word of God is there for you. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own thoughts. Don't look at the human intelligence, your human thinking. Look to what God has said for you. Chuck Colson was President Nixon's hatchet man. Got himself into a huge mess. Went to prison. And a friend gave him a Bible. And the Spirit of God filled his life when he read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, which we preached on a couple of weeks ago. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It is what? The gift of God. What was it that touched Charles Haddon Spurgeon? What was it that touched Chuck Colson? What was it that touched that terrible, dirty old sinner, Larry Brister? Was it somebody's power of persuasion, fancy words, logic, philosophy? No, it was the Word of the living God. Amen. sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, friends, look at it this way. If you ask, everybody wants to go to heaven, amen? Nobody's in a real hurry to go today, but everybody wants to go to heaven. And if you go, you don't want it to hurt. You may have an amen.
Amen.
All right. Now listen, everybody wants to go to heaven. Listen to this passage. It's a central passage of Living Hope Church. John 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're sitting here today, and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I want you to understand something. You can never unhear that. If you're watching on the internet and you see that passage, you can never unsee that. You can never say, I didn't know. You can never say, no one told me. Because you've been told. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're here today, and you're not saved, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, you are in terrible danger. Terrible danger. No one knows what will happen on the way home today. We're not promised the next week, the next month. We're not promised the next minute in our life. We don't know what will happen. But here's the truth. The perfect, pure, inerrant Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Won't you ask Him into your heart? Won't you ask Him into your heart? You want to go to heaven? That's how. That's not being narrow-minded. That's not being petty. That's telling you the truth. You know, I have only one goal in my life as our praise team comes. I have one goal in my life, that every person that I ever speak to hears the good news, the gospel, and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord.
Amen.
What is the gospel? What is the good news? Well, let me share for just a moment. We all have a problem. We've offended God with our sin. Sin is an affront. It's offensive to God. And because of our sin, we are doomed to eternal exile from heaven in a place called hell. Listen closely to me. I'm looking around this sanctuary and I know every face here. But I don't know every heart. God does. I'm looking into the camera in the back right now. I don't know who's listening to this and who will watch this on the internet or watch a DVD or listen to an audio later. But I want you to understand something desperately with all the heart that I have. Every person here that is a born-again believer is praying for you right this moment. We don't want to get to heaven without you. You say, well, Pastor, I've done some terrible things. I've lived a terrible life. You don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Revelation 22:17, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, let whosoever will come and drink of the water of life. Listen, it doesn't say you've got to be smart. It doesn't say you have to memorize the Scripture. It doesn't say anything except that you be willing for God to change your heart. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know about all the rules. I don't know all about it. Don't worry about all those. You just want me to stop doing certain stuff. No, I don't. I want you to give your heart to Christ. And then let things work themselves out between you and Christ. Here's what I do know. You want to get to heaven? You can't go there without Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As our praise team and our band plays quietly in the background, I don't know your heart here. I don't know your heart on the internet or on a DVD or CD. But there may have been something here this morning that this old preacher said. There may have been one of those scriptures from the Word of God that touched your heart. And you said today, yes, today I would like to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I understand that I've sinned. I understand that I've offended the Holy God. What do I do, Pastor? Well, you just confess your sins, and here's how you do it. You say, Heavenly Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I know that I've done all the wrong things. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe he was in the ground 3 days. And I believe on the third day he arose.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.